Hello, everybody. What a pleasure it is to welcome back the queen of Swedish crime. In fact, Sweden's best-selling author, Camilla Läckberg. She is published in 60 countries, probably has 20 million books in print, has written 10 books in her wonderful series. I'm going to try to pronounce this. She coached me, but I'll probably blow it. In Fjällbacka with Erica Falk and Patrick Hedström. Do I have that right? Is it? Excellent. Say Hedström for me.
Erika Falk and Patrick Hedström. But thank we you. Usually say, when we speak in English, we say it the English way. So Erica Falk and Patrick Hedström.
That's very kind of you. I am never going to master Swedish vowels. I gave up on that a long time ago.
Well, we're only 10 million in people. Any case, it's a waste of language.
Do you know, just as a sidebar, there's a fair amount of Swedish, Danish, Norwegian television that comes over in this country on MHZ TV, which you can now access on Amazon. And it does have English subtitles, but we've all tried listening to it to kind of get the rhythm of the other language, you know, because it's running in the background. And one night there's an Icelandic program. And so we forgot to check English subtitles. So what they do is they have a computer that generates the English language, and it's totally lacking in intonation or it's robots. And so we're watching this and we're thinking, these people have no life. They have no character. Why are we watching this program? And then figured out that was not the case. So I do recommend, for those of you who would like to watch the Erica Falk and Patrick Hedström series, which I highly recommend on MHC TV, which you can get through Amazon, that you just turn on the English subtitles, but then listen in the background for the Swedish, which is wonderful. So Ice Princess was the first book. It published in 2003, but didn't come to the US until 2010. And Camilla came to visit us at the Poison Pen, risking her life in July. In the Heat with the Preacher, which was her second book. Yeah. That was so much fun. We loved having you here. Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah. That was such great fun, but I've never been so tired in my entire life because I did 10 cities in 13 days. And you have these media escorts in every city that picks you up. And we had a lovely lady in LA called Karen, and she said that American authors have a saying that is, there's only one thing worse than a book tour, and that's no book tour. So I kind of grasped what you meant, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun, but I was so tired when I came back home.
I'm sure you were, but it was lovely to meet you. And one of the features, and we'll get back to it, one of the features I particularly remember was that your translator came. Yeah. And so we were able to have a discussion with him. Him and his wife, I believe it was, about translating works from other language into English and how that works, which I thought was fascinating. But anyway, Camilla has been nominated for all kinds of awards, and the one I particularly like is in 2012, Elle named her the year's best dressed. Now, I don't know too many authors, Camilla, who are distinguished for their sartorial elegance, but you were right there.
I think books and clothes is an excellent, books and fashion is an excellent combination. I love them both, so I try to combine them as much as possible. But when I'm at home, especially now during quarantine, I love my sweats. So today you get the home Camilla in her sweats.
There's some very glamorous pictures of you on your website. I especially like your red dress. I think that's a knockout.
Red is always an excellent choice, I think. The Scarlet Woman, that's me.
I also see that you're part owner of a jewelry company, or perhaps you were, called Sahara Silver. That's an interesting thing to backgrounds in economics, right?
Yeah, I've actually exited that company, but since then I've started an investment company for women together with a partner. So we've started investing in her that invests in various businesses by and for women.
Which in fact plays into the plot of your...
Exactly. I try to combine everything I do.
In there to the golden cage. Because obviously you're writing with passion, but you're also writing about what you know, which is how women can in fact invest and become successful at business. So it's the framework for a revenge novel.
Yeah,
right?
I do always love to combine the things that, as an author, you should always try to write about the things you know. And since I have a business degree, I also have, you know, two legs to stand on, one as an author, one as a businesswoman. I just love to combine the knowledge you have.
So you have a situation, not sadly uncommon, where a woman who has partnered with her husband and helped her husband succeed suddenly finds herself marginalized, a mom, and basically dumped.
I'm actually just watching Dirty John season 2 with a Betty Broderick story, and I'm just finding myself nodding when I see her story unfolding. It doesn't very often end that badly, but I know it's a situation that has been very common in the US and in Sweden as well, where you put your husband through law school, through medical school, you take care of the kids, and in a divorce, you get left with nothing.
Yes. So in part, the golden cage is the answer to what happens to a woman who finds herself in that position. Does she just roll and become a victim, or does she find an interesting way to strike?
It's a bit of a bad connection. So if you wonder why I'm not always answering at the right time, I'm having a bit of lagging right now. I think it's your connection, I think.
Here we get them in the summer when it's so hot.
Yeah,
so
we have a bit of lagging now with Wi-Fi, I think.
Okay.
Are we back on?
Do you want us to try to reconnect?
I'm not sure if it's yours, your Wi-Fi or mine. I could try to find another location in the apartment, but I usually have very good Wi-Fi, so I think it might be on your end, or do you know, should I try to relocate? I can try.
Okay.
Let's see. I'll walk down to the lower floor of the apartment. Get a little tour of the apartment at the same time.
All right. Is it us, do you think? Yeah, if it's us, it won't help, unfortunately.
Yeah. So we'll try. We'll see. Turn the lights on in here as well.
Any questions so far? Are you in the kitchen?
Yep, I'm in the kitchen. It's a kitchen / living room. I've got a teenager in the corner over there.
Hello, hello.
my son's saying hi.
Hello. Well, it's hard to tell. Is it a little better now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, back to the golden cage. So here we have this woman in an unhappy position, and her choices are either to roll over and walk away with very little, or fight. So it's been described as a revenge thriller. Is that the way you think of it?
It's a fighting back thriller, or you could say revenge, same thing. But it's basically about taking back power. For me, revenge is very much about taking back power. As a woman, you too often give up your power, often voluntarily, because we think that we will get the reward later. And Faye, in this book, she decides she's just not going to roll over and accept it.
And you were able to use your own background in business to help Faye create, in fact, her new life.
Yes. I mean, this book is also very much a tribute to the genre I loved in the 80s when I was a teenager, the Sidney Sheldon genre, as I call it. And they were often about women taking over empires. There were often a lot of business and economics and, gaining power through monetary and through business. So I wanted to use that. And of course, I could use my own background, which was very handy.
Does Sweden have a significant number of women entrepreneurs?
Not as many as I would like, because it's much more difficult for women and female entrepreneurs in Sweden to get capital, investment capital. It's much easier for men, unfortunately. But we do have, that being said, we do have a lot of fantastic female entrepreneurs.
So your own path to becoming a powerful woman, has been partly through being a writer and then partly through business. But what inspired you to turn from business to writing fiction?
To become a writer has always been my rock star dream. I've dreamt of becoming a writer ever since I was a small child. I just didn't think it was possible. So that's why I got a business degree instead and started working as a businesswoman. But I could never give up that dream. So I took a writing course when I was 27, and it's all history from there.
So you're originally from, or you're a native of Fjällbacka?
Yep. I live in Stockholm now, but I'm born and raised in Fjällbacka, and my mother still lives there.
So it was a natural place for you to set a series, which is now, what, 10 books long, I think?
Yeah, 10 books and counting. I'm going to start working on the 11th one soon.
Oh, good.
So I killed a lot of people there.
I was a little worried that this was, I know that the Golden Age is obviously different characters, and I was hoping that you weren't actually done with Erica and Patrick, that this was, didn't
happen. Yeah, no, I'm going to continue to write about them.
Their lives.
They're my best friends and I miss them.
What's with the TV series? Is it carrying on? Or I saw that the series started in 2011. Yeah. So 2012, I think it was. Is it still being filmed?
No, we're actually in negotiations about other plans to film it. So we're just going to wait and see what happens.
Did it affect your writing of the characters to have actors interpreting them?
No, not really, because when they started producing them for television, I already had my universe in my head. So when I start writing another Eric and Patrick book, for example, I just step into that universe that I created from the very first book. So I'm very unaffected by the TV series. I very much enjoy seeing them come to life on TV and cinema screen, but it does not at all affect me.
Are they filmed? Is the actual filming in Fjällbacka, or is it in a similar town?
It's in Fjällbacka, actually, and Fjällbacka is a very small town. It's only 1,000 people who lives there, so it's created a lot of chaos and excitement when the whole production crew has moved in and a lot of movie stars that people recognize, and they've become like part of Fjällbacka, and people just love it. And a lot of people from Fjällbacka are extras. My mother, for example, has been an extra, and me too.
Well, that's wonderful. There's a British series called Doc Martin, which is filmed in a very small town. And I gather that when the film crews come, you know, the whole town is like fiesta, as we call it. The whole town gets involved.
They just love it. Something's happening, you know. And they teach them how to play the banjo.
The what?
And they teach them how to play the banjo.
So the TV obviously reaches a large audience. Do you think that that's had something to do with the, publishing in 60 countries now?
Actually, I'd reached quite a lot of countries before they started filming them. Yep. So it's actually been the other way around, that the books have gained access to a lot of countries first, and then the TV productions has come afterwards. So it hasn't affected that much, I think.
60 countries is really an awesome number.
It's cool. It's really cool.
So in order,
countries are really small though, like Greenland.
Greenland is Danish the natural language of? I know that Greenland's part of, or was forever part of, Denmark.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, but I do know they have their own language. Yeah, okay. My teenage son is telling me now that the official language is Danish, but they have their own language. He's educating me on Greenland.
I should know this. I've actually been to Greenland four different times.
Oh, cool.
And every time you go, every time you go, because of the climate.
Sorry, it's lagging again.
And we went. You could only go through Prince Christian soon. Is it?
Yeah, no, I hear you again.
Okay. there. You could whistle to the rib up higher. Are
sorry,
you back?
Sorry, it lagged again.
It's okay.
Okay, now I hear you.
now we're back.
Yep.
Well, the reason I was asking is that obviously your works are in translation in many countries and many languages. Do you work yourself? Do you work with any of the translators?
Well, they contact me with questions sometimes. So they email me and ask, you know, specific things like, what does this mean? Or how would you describe this phenomenon? But it's quite rare actually that they contact me. So it's not often that I have anything to do with the translations.
I thought when we met your translator here at your event that learning about how they work was really interesting. They are paid by, I'm trying to remember, they are not paid royalties. They are paid by the project or by the word or however that works.
Something like that.
So it's a very interesting field and so difficult, the feeling of what you said in another language, in another culture.
Yeah.
Do you read any of your works in other languages yourself?
No. And I mean, I could read them in English and Norwegian and Danish, but in other languages, I couldn't even read them. But one thing that's always so interesting is that they always send me a copy of every translated version of the books. And I could get the Preacher in Finnish and it's 300 pages long. And then I get it in Polish and it's 600 pages long. And I'm like, what have they done? Who has added what? Who has taken what out of the book? But, you know, you just have to. Of course, I know that different languages have different amount of words, but it's very interesting how much it can differ, actually.
Wow. Yes, I can certainly see that. American publishing 150 pages is kind of the norm. So I often wonder what they do if they're translating it from another language. Do they?
Exactly. It's lagging a lot. Is it lagging on my end too, or is it just when I see you?
Yeah. No, it is a bit. I don't know that there's anything we can do about it, so no. I'm just pausing.
Just working through it.
Exactly. So I had another question. I'm trying to hit Patrick. Do we have any? All right, Patrick has some questions from people watching it that he would like to post to you to answer. Really? Wow.
No, just by standing up.
Oh, okay. Can you hear Patrick yet? Okay, and she's...
No, you just, it froze just until now, so I didn't hear anything.
How about now, Camilla? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. No, I can hear you now.
Okay, perfect. I have a couple of questions about the television show, and one of them is simply, what is the name of the show itself? And do you know which channel it's on in the U.S.? Is it on Acorn?
No, it's on MHC.
MHC.
Yes, it's called. I think it's called Fjällbacka Murders in English.
Yes.
We in Sweden we have it on Netflix as well, but it might not be on the U.S. Netflix.
I can actually answer that question. It's MHZ as in zebra TV, which you can access from Amazon, and it's called the Fjällbacka Mysteries.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I have another question, kind of a standard question about your writing process. Talk a little bit about that. Do you plot? Do you outline your kind of work without a net, as it were?
I work without a net. I have a basic idea. I have a general idea of who the murderer is and what the motive is, and I have a starting point, and then I just take off and I write it chronologically. I'm not one of those writers who have the wall full of post-it papers with post-it notes with all the scenes laid out. I write very much as I go.
Actually, I have a question myself. I'm a fan of the books of I'm going to blow the pronunciation. Walu from the 1970s and early 80s. You know,
you got
an interesting look at, you know, sociological. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, Kuevalambala.
Were they an influence on you at all when you were growing up?
They have influenced all the Scandinavian crime writers, I would say, because they set a totally new standard and a totally new way of writing crime stories that were very socially aware. So they opened up this totally new path of crime writing in Scandinavia. So I don't think anyone writing crime here has gone untouched by their influence. She just died, by the way, Maja Sjöwall. It was quite recently that she died.
It was. What about Henning Mankell, who set so many of his books in Malmö? I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's, it's at the end of the bridge to Sweden, right? I mean, to Denmark.
It's actually Ystad, a southern town, which has become quite famous for the Henning Mankell books. I've read those two, of course. I think every Swede has.
Right. It is a Ystad rather than, sorry, yeah. What about, you've written two cookbooks?
Yeah. I've written two cookbooks together with one of my childhood friends who is one of Sweden's best chefs, because I love cooking and I love eating. So for me, it was a wonderful adventure to be able to create two cookbooks together with a professional chef.
Have they been translated into other languages?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how many, but I know they've been published in Spain and France and Italy, for example. So quite a few countries.
And what about your six books for children?
I'm up to 10 soon. I'm having a little bit of a jubilee, so I'm publishing the 10th one in September. And they've also been published to, I think it's 15 or 20 languages. Russia, Polish, for example. Finnish. It's quite cool to see the books when they come in other languages when I get them in the mail at home. It's about my boy, Super Charlie, my son, Charlie.
So the lockdown has really, for some authors, given them more time to work. And for other authors, it's been distracting. How has it worked for you?
A little bit of both. I was actually supposed to have stayed for 4 months in LA this summer. I had rented a house and had made all the plans to take my family there and stay there and for the launch of the Golden Cage. But instead, it's a summer in Sweden, and it's given me a lot of more time to write. And, you know, as an author, it doesn't really change my everyday life that much, because I stay at home in the pajamas and work most times anyway. So I think it affects us less than it affects other groups of work.
So with your background in economics and love of cooking, how is it you handle the police procedure? Do you have people you consult in order to get your cops to behave like cops?
Well, firstly, I've always been a crime nerd ever since I was a child. So ever since I was a child, I've been a true crime fan, and I read nonfiction books about psychology for criminals, profiling, forensics. When other little girls read about horses, I read about serial killers. So it's always been a huge interest of mine. And Rule was one of my big heroes, and she actually blurbed my first book, The Ice Princess, and we had a bit of email chat going on, and I was so blown away by that. And so I've always done research naturally. I'm such a crime buff, and I watch everything true crime. And also, my father was a policeman in the 50s before I was born, but he would also always tell a lot of stories. And my second husband was also a policeman.
I remember your second husband. He came.
Yeah, he was there. He was on the tour.
He was. And I remember thinking how handy it was to have a policeman.
Very, very handy. Now I'm married an MMA fighter instead. That's very handy too. I always feel very safe and protected.
So is he still serving as a policeman?
My second husband? Yeah. Yes, he is. He's still a policeman in Stockholm.
Wow. Well, any other questions, Patrick? Wait, one more, two more?
Okay. Question is, are there any other Swedish crime novelists that you would recommend? Maybe some that aren't very well known.
Oh, there are tons of them. I'll try to pronounce the names slowly because there's some things that are a bit difficult. One is Emily Schapp. Then we have Marie Ljungstedt, Åsa Larsson, There's a Danish one I would like to recommend as well, Sarah Bladel. She's done quite well in the States. And Håkan Nesser is also a very, very good crime writer. We have one now that is new and up and coming called Mattias Edvardsson. His book is in Swedish called, it's probably called something similar in English. It's Just an Ordinary Family. It's excellent.
Håkan Nesser has a new book out here. I'm trying to remember, it has an interesting title, which I'm blanking on, but I've always been very fond of him. And in fact, he too, very, very nice man, wonderful author.
Oh, he's a lovely, lovely man. Very tall, lovely man.
And the couple that I'm trying to remember, Patrick, do you recall that Robert Englund was so taken with?
Roslyn
and also the gentleman who took over the, it'll come to me in a minute. This is a senior moment for me. I'm sorry.
And David Lagercrantz, who took
and
over
also,
the person.
Yes.
And Roslyn.
Yes, David has been here. But it's, no, not them. It's another couple. No, it's not UC Adler Olson either. No. Anyway, we've been fortunate that a number of authors from Scandinavia have come here, and unfortunately nearly all of them publish in the summer, which is a terrible time to visit Scottsdale. What can I say? Oh, it's Lars Kepler. That's who it is.
Yes,
they write
yes,
as exactly. Lars Kepler. Kepler.
They're very good. Stalker is excellent.
Yep. So we've been, and yet somehow none of us have improved our Swedish.
Really too bad. You're going to be fluent soon.
No. And we've also been lucky that Ragnar Jonasson has been here from Iceland. And he had the same connection problem that you're having when we when we did a recent somehow it just, you know, froze a bit. But he's a lovely writer. Very nice guy.
Very good.
So, that's it for questions. In that case, Camilla, I'll spare you any more freezing and say thank you very much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
And we hope that when we get to after with a capital A, that you will be able to come to the U.S. and do a book tour.
I hope so, too. I miss America.
Well, we certainly miss you. Thank you all for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate it, and we wish you a very good day.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, so we're off Facebook. I'm really sorry that that the connection has wobbled, but that was also true, as I say, of Ragnar. But it was lovely. You look great. And thank your son. Thank you for cleaning up the Greenland. I actually can pronounce a little Greenland. I mean, I can say Kjartortak. Who knew? I know. I practiced. So it was wonderful. We've been to Sweden. I've been there several times, Camilla. Yep. And last time took the train from Stockholm up into Lapland and had a wonderful time in Lapland. Yeah. And then we crossed over to Narvik, Norway. There's another little train that goes from, I don't remember the name of the city. Yep, and Narvik. And also has a fascinating history about the Second World War, which I was completely unaware of. I think Sweden's a beautiful.
It's beautiful. And I have relatives in Colorado, in Denver, so it's been quite a lot of time there, the Gustavsons.
I really like Stockholm, and my husband, who's a real saint and not an opera fan, I took him to Drottningholm some years ago before they remodeled it. Mm-hmm. And I still remember we were sitting there at nearly midnight. The sun is still blazing in because the theater faced the setting sun, and we're all in benches on bunk sitting there watching the opera. And people are just kind of falling over from the heat. And this lady, very nice woman, turned to my husband and said, "We often carry out as many as 10 people."
Sounds like a Swedish lady.
It was. I've been back since. And they have remodeled the old course and thing. I didn't go again, but I love Drottning. It was a day trip up from Stockholm. It's beautiful.
It really is fantastic.
Right. All of Sweden is beautiful. We've toured it many times by car and by train, and I love it. So anyway, so much. And I hope that we will indeed see you next year or whenever.
I hope so too.